Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Moonlight Magic by Annabel Jacobs, narrated by Dan Kelly. Chapter 1. Chilleth. Then. 3 fae, 2 witches and a shifter. Axel says it's like the opening line of a joke, but what waits for us up ahead is far from funny. 3 alpha shifters facing off against each other. That's what we're heading towards. With goddess knows how many from their packs backing them up. I'm Faye. This isn't my fight, but in the short time I've been here, I've already grown attached to the members of the Dark Forest pack and their friends. Besides, Axel and Dathal are also Faye, and I'm not about to stay back while they risk their lives. But that's not the only reason I'm here, as it has a tendency to do. My gaze drifts to the dark-haired witch walking ahead of me. Wynn. He's off limits, as is everyone on this side of the gateway separating our worlds. It was one of the first things I was told when offered the opportunity of coming here. Do not get involved with anyone. It seemed an easy rule to agree to at the time. I'm only here for a matter of weeks. But then I met Wynn. With his beautiful eyes, his warm heart and enticing magic, he's nothing but walking temptation. Fortunately for everyone involved, I have excellent control, which is why I let my gaze linger for a moment longer. Indulge in a little wishful thinking, then face ahead again. He's not for me. And we have more pressing matters to deal with. Wynn's witch magic keeps our feet silent and our scents masked as we creep through Dark Forest Pack territory. His light touch brushes my skin as we jog through the trees. Not familiar like fey magic, but not uncomfortable either. Never that. When we come to a stop, we're hidden by thick forest, but I can still make out the group of people gathered outside the pack house, and I have no problem hearing them, because they're loud. Accusations fly back and forth, harsh and aggressive, and even from here, it's overwhelming. Especially for me. I might not have witch magic like Wynn and Nick, but I have magic of my own. All fae do. Axel can read minds, Dathal has heightened intuition, and me, I have the ability to read and affect people's emotions. And right now, I'm being hit with an onslaught of feelings that I'm struggling to block out, because it's not my magic that needs to work right now, it's Axel's. He needs to find out the truth so we can end this before anyone gets hurt, or worse. Anything? I keep one eye on the 3 alphas all but growling at each other, only sparing a quick glance Axel's way. He shakes his head, then his eyes go wide, and he gasps. I hope that means what I think it does, because things in front of us are escalating, and at this rate, there's only one possible outcome. The pack stands, one of the alphas roars. It's not one of the good guys, but I don't remember his name. I don't have time to care either, because Axel's already started walking towards them all. Klahal. Not if it was based on a lie. Axel's voice carries, and the sudden silence is deafening. We quickly cross the open space to stand by Rhys Calder, the alpha of the Dark Forest pack. He's not alone, and out of those of his pack standing with him, one in particular catches my eye. Syl. A tall, broad, black-haired shifter. His focus is on his alpha, as it should be, but I stare long enough to be rewarded with a darting glance in my direction. Dark eyes meet mine, and for that one moment, I forget where we are, because Syl is captivating. There's a wildness to him, a raw power that's visible in the way he holds himself even when still, like he is now, and it's easy to imagine the wolf that lurks under his skin. Unlike most shifters, he's lean rather than bulky, with such pretty features that, if I didn't know better, would make me wonder if he had any fey blood running through his veins. He's different to Wynn in nearly every way, and yet equally appealing, and equally off limits. I reluctantly drag my gaze away, and finally focus on those facing us. I've had years to learn how to block people's emotions, but I've never come up against anything like this before. Without Syl to occupy my mind, I'm hit with the full force of it. And Clary Tin is too much. My control buckles with the sheer intensity of everything around us. Rage burns behind the eyes of one alpha. I don't need to see it, because this close, it's suffocating. I feel Wynn step closer. His magic brushes against mine, and with my controls stretched to the limit, I can't block out the wave of protectiveness that washes over me. I wouldn't even if I could, because I want to feel it, even if I shouldn't. Even if closeness to Wynn is the last thing I should be craving. But I'm frayed at the edges, and his magic is strong and powerful, and I'm greedy for the way it caresses my skin.
Mulheath,
the alpha sneers at Axel. Shane Kelson, I've heard his name a lot recently, and not all of it has been good.
This is Shifter business.
Shane's lip curls even more when he notices me and Dathal.
The fucking Fae have no place here.
I flinch at the hate now infusing the rage, but there's fear there too, and I wonder if he knows what Axel can do.
Get ready,
Dathal murmurs to me and Fae. Then his Clarith daggers are in his hands. So I call on my own weapons. It's harder to get my magic to work this side of the gateway, but I picture the tattoo on my chest and channel everything I've got into making them appear. A moment later, I'm holding a pair of Clarithlin knives, longer than Dathal's, but just as beautiful and just as deadly. The sun glints off the metal blades, catching Zen's attention. Talis growls, slipping into his half shift, ready to protect Axel. And Reese snarls, skin rippling, as magic crackles in the air around him. More growls and snarls echo around the clearing as the other wolves react to their alphas.
Clary Sin, I mutter,
and Dathal grunts in agreement. There's only one way this is going to end. Sen's gaze slides to Nick and Wynn, and I grip my nose tighter, my own protectiveness kicking in. No one's getting near them.
Sen looks back at Reese with a sneer. The old laws might allow you to protect your pack, but they don't permit you to use magical attacks.
He moves forward, his pack flanking him.
I'm aware,
Reese growls, fingers twitching at his side.
I don't need magic to fight you.
That might be true, but I'd love nothing more than to see Wynn unleash the full force of his magic right now. I don't think either of the alphas facing off against Reese recognize how powerful Wynn is. I wouldn't mind introducing them to my blades either, but I don't imagine that would go down well with the Fae High Court. I'm supposed to be here to observe the paranormal police doing their jobs, not get in the middle of a pack dispute that looks ready to explode into violence any moment. Out of the corner of my eye, I catch Max making his way over to me. He's Reese's cousin and a member of the police, but more disturbingly, Zen is his alpha.
Can you calm them down?
He says, so quietly I strain to hear him. I glance between the three alphas, eyes wide, because they all seem on the verge of losing control. Which ones?
All of them.
I hesitate, because in theory I could try, but affecting people's emotions without their consent is a line I won't cross unless lives are in danger.
If one shifts, they all will, and then someone is going to die.
Max hisses, and yes, I see his point, but...
Please.
He grabs my arm, and it's the desperation in both his voice and his eyes that sways me. Because as much as I don't want to do this, I don't want anyone to get killed because I didn't act when I had the chance. So I nod and close my eyes, sending my daggers back to where they came from.
I've got you,
Wynn whispers, so close to my ear, his warm breath tickles my skin. I shiver, but there's no time to let my mind wander. Wynn's magic envelops me. A protective shield I can feel even if I can't see it. Safe in the knowledge that Wynn won't let anything happen to me, I focus on the three alphas. And it's a lot. I've never experienced anything like it. Ever. The depth of feeling, the emotions, the intensity is on a level I wasn't expecting or prepared for. And it's like fighting against the tide, trying to draw all three of them back from the edge. I don't think I can do it. Panic builds inside me, threatening my concentration. But then I feel a warm hand on my lower back, and I just know it's Wynn. His long fingers curl around my hip, and his unwavering support bolsters me enough to draw all three alphas away from the edge of the murderous rage they're all feeling. It's enough for now, but I daren't let go of my magic. Not while things are still so volatile. So I grit my teeth and hold on, as Axel spills the secrets he saw in Zen's mind. Labelling Zen as a liar. Predictably, it doesn't go down well.
Fuck off, sends Biz, but he doesn't hide his shock quickly enough. You have no idea what happened last night.
Yes, I do. Axel touches the side of his head, and I can feel the relief ripple through Reese's pack.
As a fucking fae, I have magic, and that magic allows me to read minds.
Liar,
Sen roars, and I flinch. Barely hanging on, he takes a step towards Axel. Both Talis and Reese growl out a warning, and Dathau tenses. Wind's magic tightens around us as he strengthens his shield. Is this it? Is this the moment one of them breaks?
It might have been self-defense,
Axel carries on. I hold my breath as he plucks yet more thoughts out of Zen's mind. It's getting harder and harder to keep Zen's emotions in check. The rage builds and builds, draining my magic as I fight to keep control, and then everything snaps.
Stop,
Zen roars, lunging at Axel, shifting mid-air. Talis shifts to meet him, cutting in front of Axel and Dathau, but Reese is quicker. His black wolf is little more than a blur as he leaps into the air, slamming into Zen and sending them both skidding into the trees. It's the last thing I see before white-hot pain explodes inside my head and blackness takes over.
Chapter 2. Syl. Fuck. I see Chilith clutch his head, eyes rolling back, and I'm moving on instinct. I catch one arm and Wind catches the other, and between us, we hold him upright. Wind's magic flares, enveloping me in warmth, and my gaze snaps to his over Chilath's head.
Shield,
he grits out, eyes fierce like he's daring me to object. I don't require his protection, and he knows it, but I understand the need to do it, because it's how I feel right now too. That burning desire to face anyone or anything that comes at us. Maybe my focus should be on the rest of my pack, but they can handle themselves. For some reason I'm choosing to ignore right now. I was drawn here to these two people, and I've never been one to ignore my instincts. My pack are a blur of movement as they fight to put an end to this, and soon enough, it's all over. Crisis fucking averted. I don't let go of Chilith, my shift of protectiveness still in overdrive. But I breathe a huge sigh of relief when I see Reese dragging Zen out of the trees. Both look bloody and bruised, but Zen has his head bowed, tilted to the side, exposing his throat. As he fucking should, because he might be an alpha, but he's a piss-poor one and doesn't deserve the respect that title commands. Chilath stirs as he starts to wake up, and his bright blue eyes snap open, body going rigid.
Shh, Wind coaxes. You're okay.
I want to offer my own reassurances, but my mouth won't cooperate. I have no reasonable explanation for why I darted over here, save for the fact I had to. But still I keep hold of Chilath, my hand pressed low on his back, supporting him, that same instinct keeping me close instead of urging me to join my pack.
Is it over?
Chilath glances around the clearing, finally standing up straight and gently easing himself out of our grip. My fingers itch to keep in contact, but I curl them into fists at my side.
I think so, I finally manage, watching as half those present get back in their cars and drive off. But that still leaves Zen and the four members of his pack he brought with him.
Gabriel Mason, Reese's mate, points at the five of them.
What about them?
That's a good question. I know what I'd like to happen to Zen, but I don't think the paranormal police would allow it. I curl my lip as I stare at him. Shame. I feel Wind's shield drop a second before he steps forward.
I'm going to take him to the station,
he says, confidence and determination clear in both his voice and body language. I like it so much it takes me a moment for the actual words to register. And wait, what? Is he fucking serious right now? Zen might be subdued, but I don't trust him to go quietly. I turn to glare at Wind, eyebrow raised, because no way is he doing it on his own. I catch the same expression on Chilath's face, and I'm pleased we're in agreement. Wind seems to get the message without either of us saying anything, because he nods once, a small smile in place. I like that too.
I just spoke to DCI Thornton,
Wind says,
and she's issued a warrant for Zen's arrest.
He blushes as he adds,
Chilath and Scylla are accompanying me.
I checked Chyleth for any lasting effects of using so much fey magic, but he seems to have almost fully recovered. Maybe they have advanced healing too. It'd make sense, since they have magic. It doesn't mean I don't want to stay close, just in case. I sense Rhys's gaze on me and bristle, because on the surface, I have no business involving myself in this, but I don't want to have to explain why I need to go with them. I know I'm not police, but I thought it made sense to have a shifter with them. Rhys eyes all three of us in turn. Oh, I agree. It makes perfect sense. His expression is hard to read, but Gabriel smirks beside him so obviously he knows. Rhys offers nothing else, though, and if he thought I needed to know, he'd tell me, so I let it go. Gabriel and I will follow you, Datho says as he and Axel join us. Yes, we will. The Fey High Court would not be pleased if anything happened to Chyleth. Gabriel winces. Lady Sarhim would murder us. Chyleth snorts, but I can't help but stiffen at the very idea of something happening to him. I blame the adrenaline still flooding my body from the showdown with Zen, because what other explanation is there? My pack was threatened. My protective instincts kicked in. So is it any wonder that extended to anyone who helped us? I fix that thought firmly in my head as Wynn secures Zen with magical dampening handcuffs and shoves him none too gently into the back of his car. He goes to get in the back with him, but I stop him with a hand on his arm. A zing of something flares as my fingers meet bare skin, but it's fleeting, and I shake it off. Probably an after-effect of all the magic he's used today. You drive, I say, tugging him back. I can easily restrain him if he tries anything. With Zen's shifter magic bound by the handcuffs, he can't shift, and he's not as powerful as he'd normally be. I can take him in a fight. In fact, I'd love Zen to try something, because I'd love nothing more than the chance to restrain him. Violently. Wynn straightens and faces me. For a second I think he's going to argue, but then his gaze drops to my bare torso, eyes widening like he's only just realised I'm shirtless.
Yeah, okay.
When I thought I might have to shift, it made sense to limit the damage to my clothes, but now my semi-nakedness seems to be an issue. I cross my arms and Wynn stares at my biceps before Chyleth clears his throat.
I'll join Sue in the back to keep an eye on our prisoner.
I bristle, not sure I like the idea of him that close to Zen, but thankfully I keep that to myself. Calm the fuck down. Several deep breaths later, it's both better and worse. There's scents around me and my wolf calms, which is helpful because I can't get in a car with Zen if I'm already agitated. But the why of that sentence isn't something I feel like examining right now. Maey it's just Chyleth's fey magic doing its thing. I accept it for what it is and get in the car. The journey to the police station is silent for the most part. I can't bring myself to even speak to Zen after what he's done, and I don't want to talk to the others in front of him either, but I daren't take my eyes off him. It's an uncomfortable car ride that seems to take far longer than normal. I've never been so pleased to pull into the paranormal police station car park. By the time we get out, Gabriel and Dathal pull in beside us, and two police shifters walk across the car park to greet us. As happy as I am that Wynn and the others have shifter reinforcements, it means they don't need me anymore. Not when they have their own trained officers to escort Zen into custody. I stand back and watch as Wynn oversees the handover of Zen to the police shifters. Gabriel and Dathal go with them as they take him inside. I expect Chyleth and Wynn to go too, but they don't. Instead, we're all sort of standing in a loose circle looking at each other. Not awkward at all. Whatever connection I thought I felt outside the pack house seems impossible now. Did I imagine it? I must have done. Maybe I'm experiencing an adrenaline crash, and that's why I feel off kilter. My healing should kick in any second and stabilize my body and hopefully get me back to my normal self. Either way, I should go and let them do their jobs. And it's then I realise I've no way to get home. Fuck. I need to ask Gabriel if I can borrow his car. I run a hand through my hair, tugging at the ends, a nervous habit I thought I'd grown out of.
Well, you can come in and wait for him,
Wynn offers.
Considering what's just happened, I think he'll be eager to get back to Rhys, so he shouldn't be long.
That's very true. If my mind wasn't all over the place, I would have realised that. I glance at the building behind us. Am I allowed in there,
Wynne grins.
You are if you're with me.
There's a sultry edge to his voice, which I'm sure he didn't intend, if the sudden colour on his cheeks is anything to go by. Chilath smirks as he watches us, and I wonder what he's thinking. The wind has changed direction while we've been standing here, blowing their scents away from me. I could try harder to get a read on them, but that feels like a violation of privacy, so I don't.
Come on,
Wynne says, gesturing towards the entrance of the police station.
We can wait in the labs for Gabriel and Dathel. I'll message them to meet us there.
We make it halfway across the car park before the doors open, and Gabriel and Dathel walk out, along with another witch I recognise.
Kara,
Wynne calls in greeting.
What are you doing out here?
I came to see what's taking you so long. She looks at the three of us and raises an eyebrow. Wynne flushes again, but avoids answering her.
Where's Zane?
Her expression darkens. They've taken him to the cells. I didn't want to be down there until he's safely locked away. She shudders, and I don't blame her. You need a lift, Syl. Gabriel eyes me, then Wynne and Chilath, much like Kara did, and I start to feel uneasy with all the scrutiny. Yes, if you don't mind. I shrug. I should get back to see if I'm needed. Gabriel nods. Me too.
Nick's still there,
Dathal adds.
So I'm coming with you. We're all done here.
He pulls Chilath in for a hug, and I feel a stab of envy that I quickly tamp down. After effects of the fight, I remind myself. Shifters are tactile by nature. It's no wonder I'm craving touch after what we all just went through. It's our nature, that's all. Another shifter would understand, but Chilath is fey, and Wynne is a witch. I'm not about to explain why I have the sudden urge to hug them goodbye when we hardly know each other. Maybe I've underestimated them, though, because as soon as Chilath is free of Dathal's embrace, he hugs Gabriel and then reaches for me. I have a second to wonder if he hugged Gabriel on purpose to make me feel better about taking comfort from him, but then his strong arms wrap around me, and I stop thinking altogether and just feel. For that split second, I'm wrapped up in warmth and the faint hint of fey magic, and it's so effortlessly good, I forget that we have an audience. That he isn't mine. That he steps back, his smile soft as he looks at me.
Thank you for helping me today.
It was my pleasure. I wonder if he can tell those words are truer than I'd like them to be. I turn to face Wynne, and his arms twitch like he wants to pull me in for a hug too, but isn't as confident about it as Chilath. But I'm feeling bold, my wolf so close to the surface that this time I don't think twice before tugging Wynne into my arms. He sinks into me, his scent a forest fresh mix that fills my senses. His body fits against mine, strong and solid. I close my eyes, and the urge to bury my head in the crook of his neck rises inside me so fast that it takes me by surprise, and I'm already turning my head before I realise and let him go quickly. I feel the brush of his magic before he shakes himself, and it's snatched back.
Right,
he says, smoothing out his clothes and looking anywhere but at me.
We'd better get back inside.
Bye, I murmur, willing him to face me. When he finally does, his blue-grey eyes are the colour of a brewing storm. He smiles, and it lights up his whole face.
Basil.
Chilath gives me a nod and a thorough once-over before following Kara and Wynne back towards the entrance to the police station. I watch them walk back until they disappear inside, but when I turn away, I find Dathal and Gabriel staring at me. What? I don't snap, but there's definitely a bite to my tone.
Nothing,
Dathal laughs.
Nothing at all.
Gabriel jangles his keys and points to the car. Come on, let's go home. We both need to be there. I cast one last look at the doors behind me, then shake my head. Gabriel's right. I need my pack around me, and I need my alpha to ground me. Then everything will be okay.
Chapter 3. Wynne. 3 weeks later.
Morning, he whispers, smiling at me.
Morning.
I reach out to touch his chest, needing the assurance that this is real, that it's actually happening. I get lost in his eyes, captivated as always by their unique colour. My hand drifts lower, fingertips trailing over the intricate ink etched into warm brown skin, and I slowly trace the edges of the twin blades. the weapons of choice for my fae guard. Clarithlin, the word is beautiful, just like him. His hand closes over mine, gently coaxing me to move lower. The edge of his waistband brushes my inner wrist, my pulse races. His stomach muscles contract as he slowly inhales, and I feel every movement. I can't look away from the sight in front of me, but I imagine if I did, he'd have his eyes closed and his head slightly tipped back, relaxed, confident, whereas my heart beats so hard I'm almost light-headed. Sliding my thumb under the material of his sleep pants, I touch the soft hair of his happy trail and... The knock on the door startles me awake so abruptly, it takes me way too long to get my bearings and to realise that my lovely morning wake-up call is a dream and sadly not reality. Of course. I glance down to find I've pushed my quilt down to my hips and currently have one hand curled into the edge of it and the other wrapped around my cock. Fuck's sake. It's the third time this week I've woken up like this, and the reason for that is on the other side of my door. Chilath Din, my new fae housemate and work partner. Thank the goddess he hasn't just let himself in like usual. It takes me another few seconds to realise why that might be, and my cheeks flame, shame and embarrassment chasing away any lingering heat from my veins, and also my erection. Which is fortunate because, as if on cue, the door swings open to reveal Chilath leaning against the doorframe in all his brown-skinned, silver-haired, blue-eyed glory. Is there really any wonder I have sex dreams about him? Self-conscious as always, I tug the quilt up to cover myself. To his credit, Chilath keeps his gaze on my face. There's no way he can't feel the emotions swirling through me. I know he works hard to control his magic, especially since his gives him the ability to invade a person's privacy. Though I'm not sure he can turn it off completely. I've always assumed it's similar to how shifters can dial back their senses some but not stop them from sensing things completely. I've come to learn over the past couple of weeks, despite Chilath's love of flirting and teasing, he'd never purposefully make me feel uncomfortable. Which means if he picked up on my emotions enough to knock, then I must have been projecting them pretty fucking strongly. I cover my face with my hands, hoping if I don't look at him he might go away. Unsurprisingly, it doesn't work. "Morning," he says softly, and fuck me, it's exactly like he sounded in my dream. I groan, but drop my hands, because hiding from this is pointless. Still staring at the ceiling, I say, "Can we pretend that you can't sense emotions and you have no idea why I'm currently the colour of a tomato?" "A tomato?" He frowns, as though trying to remember what that is. "What colour is that?" "Ugh." I wave my hand about. "I know you know what I mean." I steal a glance at him, only to find him watching me. His eyes twinkle with amusement. "Like a Chirith play?" It's my turn to frown at him. "What's that?" He grins. "A flower, with beautiful and very vibrant, very red petals." I throw a pillow at him, and he laughs loud and bright, and despite my mortification, I end up joining him. I don't know what it is about Chilath, but even when I embarrass myself, which I do on a regular basis with him, he always manages to take the sting out of it somehow. When the laughter fades, he walks into the room and sits on the very end of my bed, expression serious. "I'm sorry if I make you uncomfortable. I'm not actively trying to sense your emotions, Wyn, but sometimes it's unavoidable." "I know." I fiddle with the edge of my quilt. "And I don't want to make you uncomfortable either. Chilath isn't the first fae I've encountered. I've met a fair few of them by now, working for the paranormal police, and while I've always appreciated their ethereal beauty, none have ever affected me like he does. When he doesn't say anything, I give in to the urge and look up. He has the bluest eyes I've ever seen, and they seem to change shade at will. Right now they're dark like the night sky and full of an intensity that draws me in like twin magnets. Everyone feels," he says gently. "We can't always control it. Whatever I do or don't sense from you is no one's business, not even mine. Don't be ashamed, Wyn." The sincerity in his words seeps into my veins like a soothing balm and hopefully drains the colour from my face. I relax against the pillows behind me with a sigh. If he can ignore my inappropriate dreams about him, then so can I.
Chylath is a member of the Fae Guard, here to work alongside the paranormal police.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?